Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Shmir Salashan Class Learning. We'll begin to Tefillah Al Hadibur, please, in the inside front cover. Ribbono shel Olam, Yei Ratzon b'fanecha al rachum v'chanan, shetezakeinu hayim l'chol yom lishmar pi u'lashoni milashon hara rechilas, ve'azarim l'dabra afilu al ish yachid, v'kol shekein al kol yisrael. O Achelek Mehem, Vakosh Kim Lisraim Al Midosov Shah Kosh Barhu, Azarm Ladabra Divri Shekhar Hanufa Mechlokas Ka Askaiva, Unastvarim Habanas Panim Leitzanas Vchaldibur Asra. Zakini Shal Ladabra Kim Dabar Hatzarich Linani Gufi Vinafshi Vukama Saibu Rileshim Shamayim Amen. As is Chos for Aliyah Nashama for Tzvi Gershon Alavashon Benyo Vachana Shamashan of Aliyah and the merit of our learning and a continued for Shlema for Bracha Vivgaya Bas Rachel Gita. I never knew it was on the back. That is so interesting. I never knew that. You put a sticker on the inside front flap. I never knew it was on the back. Okay, see? Thank you for telling us. Okay, so we're on page 144. I'm just going to make a bracha. Please, we're on page 144. Bracha Tadonai Elohim Melech Olam.
Amen.
Last year we had was on the quality and quantity of our friendships based on Pirkei Avos, Aseh Chara V'Knei Lecha Chaver. So let's begin with new material on the top, page 144. Shelo Yasiach Da'ato Mishmur Asam. You should not have Hesach Hadas. You should not remove your mind from being on guard in Shmur Salash. And this term, Hesach Hadas, is relevant actually to the 9 days. One of the reasons that you're not supposed to do laundry during the 9 days, besides the fact that you're not supposed to wear fresh clothing, which is a different prohibition, because you don't want to feel fresh and clean like an Avel who does not don fresh clothing. Another reason for not doing laundry during the 9 days is you should not have Hesach Hadas from Chorban Beis HaMikdash. You should not have a removal of your mind, a removal of thoughts from the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. In the olden days, doing laundry wasn't like today. You had to go down to the river, you had to set up your baskets, you had to wash in the river, you probably met your friends at the river, and everybody started to socialize in order to minimize all of this distraction, Hesach Hadas, removal of mind, distraction. We do not do laundry. Today it's very, very different. We don't have socializing at the washing machines, and it doesn't become an event, and it's not a whole day affair. We don't really have Hesach Hadas, but this is the halacha. This is the way it stands. It's very interesting, because when we were in Israel, one of the things we did was a tremendous, everything was tremendous, but one of the things we did was a jeeping tour of Midbar Yehuda. It was just incredible. And we went to and in the middle of the desert, the guide took us to an oasis. I mean, it's just unbelievable to see an oasis mamish in the middle of the desert. And we got out of the jeep and we climbed a little through a stream, and then we climbed up this little hill, and there was this man-made canal and pool. I forget when it was made, but there were Bedouins there, Bedouin mother with her teenage daughter and little boy and the donkey. The donkey had on its back, it had some sort of carry thing with empty laundry detergent tubs, big, like the big tide. I mean, it wasn't tide, big tubs. They fill it up with water. They were there. They take back water to the village. The donkey carries the water back. They fill up those tubs. But what was they actually doing at the pool? Doing their laundry. The mother was there with her teenage daughter and little boy, that's maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. They were doing laundry. They invited us to have tea with them. Anyway, we didn't stay for tea, but my point is that it relates to Hesach Hadas of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, in terms of laundry. So here too, Shelo Yasich Da'ato Mishmur Asam. You should mamash not have Hesach Hadas. The way you have to be on guard to always remember during this time of the 9 days, Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So you should not have Hesach Hadas from being on guard of your speech. The two go hand in hand. If you remember Chorban Beis HaMikdash without Hesach Hadas, then you won't have Hesach Hadas from the 9 days, if you're from guarding your mouth. If you always remember the Chorban, then you will be on guard always to guard your mouth. You won't duplicate the sins of sinas chinam and charvul shabilashonam. V'dugma shomer otzar mech. So he gives you a mashal. It's a guard who is watching the treasury of the treasure house, the storehouses of the king. Shekol eino v'libo ala otzar. His eyes and his heart, he's paying very close attention over what he's guarding. V'yoser mimenu shesham adayin lo haye lo hezek. And even though there was no injury there, nobody came and stole anything. Eino roa ganavim. He doesn't see robbers. Ha'omdim sviva. Even if he doesn't see anyone standing, mashal. So he says, who's going to be more on guard? One who never had an attack, one who never had anything lost or stolen from the treasures, or somebody bivadai, hayalo hezek rav, gam arata. There was a lot of injury up till now. There was damage, shahaganavim, the robbers, vehem hayetzer ushluchav. So what is the nimshal to us? The robbers who come to attack our treasury, our storehouse of Hashem that we're supposed to be guarding, tzeyetzer hara, and the yeher tzahara's emissaries. When you think, it's so interesting, I prefer to fly El Al because of the security. Some people prefer to fly other airlines because of more leg room. I'll take the heightened security over the leg room, but it ties into this mashal. When you have a history, Hashem Yirachim Aleinu, when you know how careful and on guard you have to be, you're more on guard than if you can let your guard down a little bit. So the Chafetz Chaim is saying, we can't let our guard down. We have been attacked so many times in the ruchniistic realm by the Yetzer Hara and by his shlichim that we have to be constantly on guard. We're not just a shomer who never encountered any damage. We're a shomer who has unfortunately encountered so much damage. And here we mean about Shmir Salashan. And what is the shluchim of the Yetzer Hara that's strive to bring us down, hakina, hataiva, vakava, jealousy of other people, desire and kavod, the longing for honor in this world, ganvu, harbe, mikarmo. These three emissaries, kina, taiva, and kavod, have stolen so much from our vineyard, so how could we not be on guard? Vagama ata. And also now, omdim kulam, they all stand against us. Ba'ayin choderes, they have discerning eyes. Me'od, very, very much. Sevivo, they're all around us. Lechatof mikarmo, they want to rob from our vineyard. Kol masha yuchlu, whatever they can rob, they want to rob. So we have to be like the Al agents who are constantly on guard. It was amazing that when we checked in, it was Motzei Shabbos, so I was very nervous about making the flight. And, you know, they asked you very piercing, pointed questions. He asked my husband what he does, and he was talking about where we like to shop. Do we live in Woodmere, North Woodmere? And then out of the clear blue, after he talks to my husband about his profession, he looks at me and he says, you're a teacher? And we were like floored. And the kid said, what's going on? And after he finished interrogating us, I said to him, how did you know that? So he said, 90% of the time I'm correct. They have certain training, and he said it's an intuition. He said 90% of the time I'm right. The kids could not get over it. And then I couldn't get over it. It was unbelievable. And then when we went to board the plane, the same guy was standing there. He says to my husband, Simcha, he remembered his name. He probably checked in hundreds of people that night. And the way he was scanning the terminal, the gate, when we were going onto the plane, was just his eyes looking all over. This is someone who really has to be on guard, because you have to have discerning eyes to catch those who stand around you to ambush you. Hein bahata aya. How do they accomplish this? She'ein zeh b'chal ha'asar dvarim. They tell you, it's not one of the forbidden 10 things. Don't worry. V'hein shu l'shem shamayim. And they also tell you this machlokas is l'shem shamayim. This lashon har is l'shem shamayim. Hashem wants you to say this. So it's not some that they come against you, they tell you to sin, because so often we are on guard against sin. They tell you it's a mitzvah. Adirabba, it's not a sin to say this thing. It's a mitzvah. It's l'shem shamayim. It's not one of these. It's not one of the 10 things that are asar. V'hu hu ha-me'orav b'mezeg ruchacha. And he is going to ambush you in your personality. V'ha-mishtatef. He is going to be your partner and everything you have to do. Your HR is your trusty partner. He's always there. He never goes away. It says in the Rav Aaron Leib Steinberg that they came to the Gadol, the Rashi, the Rav Aaron Leib, and they said to him, what Musar Sefer should we learn to stay? You remember the answer? Because you're smiling. What Musar Sefer should we learn to stay on guard from the Yetzer Hara? So he replied, do you think I have a classified Musar Sefer that the Yetzer Hara does not know about? It's a quote from the book of Steinman. I can't even imagine. Do you think I have a classified Musar Sefer the Yetzer Hara does not know about? They're always going to be with us. They say, we'll be partners together with all of your matters. Kamat tzarich lehischazek. How much do you have to strengthen yourself? Uli yishamer heitev. And to be on guard very well. Al kol panim. How would you translate kol panim? In every situation, mikan, ulahaba, shalo, yikashav lashana, today, tomorrow, you always have to be on guard not to stumble with your mouth, because they are always there to make a nice shitvus with you. Okay? Let's be friends. We'll do this together. You're guarding. You need help guarding. I'll be the guard with you. Meanwhile, he's the robber who steals your karem. In a shmooze, I'm quoting about Rav Palm Zatzal. In a shmooze, Rav Palm discussed the qualities which made Aaron worthy of becoming the first Kohen Gadol. Rav Palm himself, Zatzal, was a Kohen. He discussed the qualities which made Aaron worthy of becoming the first Kohen Gadol. This is very relevant also for Av, particularly. We just read in the parsha this past week about the yurt site of Aaron HaKohen, the only Yortzeit that's mentioned in the Torah, Rosh Chodesh Av, it's not an accident that the Baal Ahava Shalom and the Baal Redifa Shalom's Yortzeit is Rosh Chodesh Av as we enter this more important period of the 90s. So Rav Pam spoke about Aaron HaKohen and why he was worthy of becoming the first Kohen Gadol. Among the Kohen Gadol's eight garments was the Me'il, the cloak. The Me'il we've spoken about here was the bright blue Techeles garment with the bells and the pomegranates on the bottom. This garment, when worn by the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says in Maseches Arachin, achieved a degree of atonement for those who were guilty of Lashon Hara. And we spoke about it here, I don't think this year, but in previous years, the bells, the pomegranates, time for silence, time for noise. Said Rav Pam, jealousy and sinas chinam are at the root of this sin. The sin of Lashon Hara is jealousy, kina, and sinas chinam. And here we are, still mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. Also, the need for self-glorification causes a person to see only positive attributes in himself while he perceives faults in others. What really leads to Lashon Hara is that we see the good in ourselves and we perceive faults in others. You know, it lives here. Yeah. It's a baby.
It's looking for you.
Do you feed it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why she lives here. What do you give it, milk?
No, milk is not good. I pour it like
it's so cute. Okay, the results are
looking for you.
Oh, she's adorable. She's waiting to eat something. The need, you know, that reminds me. The Rav, Rav Salvechuk tells over the following story. You want to hear a story about Churban Beis HaMikdash related to cats? I'm serious. I'm not making a joke. So the Pasuk says in Eicha, towards the end of Perek He, the Pasuk says in Eicha, I'm taking a break a minute from Rav Pam, the Pasuk says in Eicha, towards the end of Perek He, Har Tzion Sheshamei Mishu Alim Hilchubo, Mount Zion is desolate, foxes walk there. So we tend to think this is one degree of churban, of destruction. Har Tzion Hashamim, therefore foxes prowl. The Rav Salvechuk says that this is two degrees of churban. Har Tzion Hashamim is one degree of churban. Shu Alam Hilchubo, foxes walk there, is an even greater degree of churban. And he tells a story about a survivor of the Holocaust. This is in The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways. There was a certain survivor of the Holocaust who went through the camps and he survived and he went back to his hometown and he went back to his mother's house. And he said there was a cat. His mother used to feed this cat every day at a certain time. On Yom Kippur, she would go home from Shul at that time of day to feed the cat. And he went back to this town. He said the town was full of inhabitants. They had so many different shuls on the strip. It was a bustling Jewish town. And he goes back to the town and it is totally devoid of Jews and Judaism. And it's complete churban. Everything is gone. That's Har Tzion Shoshameh. And he goes to his mother's house, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the cat scratched on the back door. He says, that's Shu'alim Hilchubo. Says of Salvechuk, when a place is devoid of its inhabitants, it's bad enough. But when it's overtaken by animals and devoid of the people to whom it belongs, it's a whole degree of churban. The man said, at that moment, he cried and he realized the tremendous magnitude of the churban. And a couple of years ago, when we were in Eretz Yisrael, we went down, you know, off the Rova, there's a yeshiva with houses of Kohanim excavated. I forgot what it's called. And we were walking amongst the ruins there. There was no bais there, and there was a cat. And it reminded me of what Salvechuk says, when the cat walks there and people aren't there, it's an even heightened degree of churban. Let's go back to Rav Pam. This garment, when worn by the Kohen Gadol, I'm going back to the Me'il, achieved a degree of atonement for those who were guilty of Lashon Hara. Rav Pam taught jealousy and sinas chinam, so the Chafetz Chaim just mentioned kina, and sinas chinam, baseless hatred, are at the root of the sin. Also, what else causes Lashon Hara? The need for self-glorification. I want to make myself better. How do I make myself better? By putting somebody else down causes a person. So what do? I see the positive in myself and I perceive the fault. It's so true of human nature. Faults in others. Says Gemara, Ein Adam Ro Achov L'Atzmo. I don't see that I have a chova. I don't see that I have a debt. I don't see that I'm guilty. I see what's wrong with everybody else. And that's what Palm says. The results are criticism, belittlement, and even slander. The root of criticizing others is that I'm right. And if I'm right, you must be wrong. For the Me'il to atone for these sins, says Rav Pam, its wearer's heart must be overflowing with love for fellow Jew. And this is the first thing. We're talking about why Aaron here, Zocha, to wear the Me'il. The first thing Hashem tells Moshe about Aaron when Hashem finally becomes upset, angry, the word is angry at Moshe, and Perek Dal of the snag, he says about Aaron HaKohen, V'hinehu yatsa l'krosecha, v'ra'acha v'samach bilibo. Aaron, don't worry so much, telling me I should send Aaron instead of you. You're the man for the job. Aaron's heart was overflowing with love. V'ra'acha, he will see you. Not he will be jealous of your position. Not he will say, why did Moshe get to go ahead of me? I'm 83 and he's only 80. I should get the gedula. V'samach b'libo, he will rejoice in his heart. And Rashi says there, because he rejoiced in his heart, he was merited to wear the jewels of the choshen over his heart. He must look towards them, says Rupam, with a benevolent eye, rejoice in their success as he would rejoice in his own. The Kohen Gadol must be an advocate in his everyday life, always seeking to judge others favorably and view their seemingly questionable behavior in a positive light. So, Hevei Daras Kadam Makav Sechus, it's something we've spoken a lot about, but I heard a beautiful explanation of Hevei Daras Kadam Makav Sechus a few months ago. Rav Shai Shechter said in a shir, what does it mean, Hevei Daras Kadam Makav Sechus? Does it mean if a person is doing an Aveira, you should really think they're doing a mitzvah? Sometimes it looks like an Aveira, it's really a mitzvah, okay? Sometimes we don't know the full picture. Really, there's nothing wrong, and we judge incorrectly, but sometimes the person is really not doing the right thing. So, what does it mean, Hevei Daras Kadam Makav Sechus? So Rav Shechter explained it means to understand, I have no idea what led him to do this action. I don't know about his life. I don't know about his upbringing. I don't know about his family circumstances. I don't know what made him do this. Maybe if I had his nisyonos, I would have done it also. It doesn't mean always exonerate the person, because sometimes we judge incorrectly and really there was nothing wrong. Okay, but sometimes there really is something wrong. So what does it mean, Hevei Daras Kadam Adam Makav Sechus? Do I always have to be down in Kav Sechus? So it was a brilliant explanation. It was a whole long shir. But one nekuda I remember specifically which made a big impact on me is to think to myself, maybe if I had his life circumstances, his family situation, his financial oppression, his health challenges, whatever the person faces, I would have done the same thing. It's to understand that since I can't understand a person's matzav, I cannot judge their actions. It's not necessarily that it's always right. It's a beautiful interpretation.
True.
What?
It's true.
It's so true. Because sometimes we need to realize our perception is incorrect. But sometimes our perception is correct. So then how could I apply this maxim of Chazal? Aaron looked at everybody, even seemingly questionable behavior, in a positive way. It's a ha'ara that helped me. And it could help, I think, everybody. And it's important ha'ara. If someone really is a miser wrong, it's not that they're right, but I don't know what I would do if that person was me. And therefore, how can I judge them? View their seemingly questionable behavior in a positive light. Such a man, only such a man. So an advocate for Jews in his everyday life, seeking to always judge others favorably, views their seemingly questionable behavior in a positive light. His heart overflows with love for his fellow Jew. He has an eye in Tova, and he sees the good in everyone else, not only in himself. It's a very high calling. Under Aaron HaKohen was so unique, such a man can enter the Kodesh HaKadashim. Through divine service, he can ask that Hashem judge us as he himself judges others. So why is he an advocate? He can go to Hashem and say, the same way, b'midash adam modein modedim lo. Look how I judge other people, so what do we ask for the Ribbono Shel Olam? The way I judge your children, Hashem, is the way that you should surely judge your children as a reward. One second, I'm looking for... Yeah. So the Mishnah says on Aaron HaKohen, Hilo Omer, Hevei mi Talmidav Shel Aaron. This is Pirkei Avos, Perek Av Mishnah Yud Beis. Ohev Shalom, very apropos for the 9 days, always with the 9 days. Ohev Shalom, love, peace, rode Shalom, chase peace. Ohev Isabrios, love, people, Makarvan Latar. So the Bartanura quotes a famous Avos Rabbi Nasan. I'm just going to quote the Bartanura, a famous commentator on the Mishnah. Here we go. Perush b'Avos Rabbi Nasan. He quotes Avos Rabbi Nasan. Ketzad haya Aaron ohev shalom. How did Aaron love peace? K'shehaya ro'esh shnei b'nei adam miskotetim. When he saw, listen carefully, two people who were quarreling, fighting, arguing. Haya holeich l'chol echad mehem. Shalom midas chaveiro. What would he do? What did I just read? Haya holeich l'chol echad mehem. Shalom midas chaveiro.
He'd go to one without the other knowing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He would go to each one without the knowledge of his friend. But Omer though, and he would say, what would he say? Ro'ech havercha, look at your friend. Echu mischareit. Look at his regret, his charata, umaka es atzmo. He's beating himself up. That's what it means, umaka et atzmo. He's beating himself up. Al shechata lecha, he sinned against you. V'hu omer li, and he told me, your friend, who you're in a fight with, told me, sha'avoi lecha. He told me to come to you. Shatimcholo, please forgive him. He would go to each one and do the same thing. And therefore, through this method, next time they would meet in the street, the next time they would meet in the supermarket, the next time they would meet in shul, each one, Aaron, came to him. They would kiss one another. All of a sudden, you haven't seen the person in such a long time. You give them a kiss. How would he bring people close to Torah? Because the Mishnah says, Ohev shalom, rodev shalom. Ohev esabrius umakarv na Torah. Kishahaya yodea ba'adam sha'avar aveira. This is what we just spoke about. You see someone who does an aveira. So our first tendency is to say, a sinner, a chota, look at him. What did Aaron do? Hayam mischaber imo. We spoke about chibur and friendships last time. What would he do? Hayam mitchaber imo. He would? He would befriend him. Umarolo panim tzuvos. He showed him a shining countenance. He didn't say, oi, a ganav, oi, a balashinhar, oh, a bad person, oh, a sinner, oh, a failure. We tend in society to write people off when we see people doing a aveiros, so our tendency is to write them off. He would become friends with him. A sinner, he would show him a shining countenance. V'haya also Adam mitbayesh. That person was embarrassed. V'omer, and he said, Ilu haya yodea tzadik zem ma'asei haraim kama haya misrachik mimeni. If that tzadik, Aaron HaKohen, knew my terrible deeds, he would stay far away from me. U'mitoch kach haya chozer l'mutav. Unbelievable kiruv approach. Instead of labeling and branding and lashon hara and slander and machlokas and screaming, he would love people and he would become friends with people. Then the person thought, this Kohen Gadol, this tzaddik, this wonderful person is friends with me. If he knew what I did, he would never want to be friends with me. I better be a better person. And that is Aaron's approach according to Avos the Rabbi Nasan. And Tosfos Yom Tov says on the Mishnah, why should you love people? You know why you should love them? Simple. What did the Tosfos Yom Tov just say? What does that mean? Hashem created them just like he created us. Therefore, you should love them. You should love all the brews. You know, I got a bee sting the Shabbos before last, so my children, Baruch Hashem, really have ahavas of brios in terms of, I hope, people, but also animals. So one of the kids was very concerned. He wanted to know, did the bee die or did it fly away? In other words, he wanted to make sure that it flew away. And the other one said, even if it flew away, it's eventually going to die because it bit you. But you have to just look at everything in this world as a bria of a kosh baruch. He didn't only make me, he made everybody. My daughter told me that one of my nieces and nephews in Kanaina Harvela was killing ants, snapping on ants, a young child. My daughter said to her, you know, Hashem made those ants just like Hashem made you. And sometimes we treat, sometimes people treat animals, Chas V'Sham, better than they treat their fellow Jew. Yeah.
So I find when befriend, when my children are growing up, you befriend like the underdog or the person that's not as like. Like if you become friends with them, everybody else will become friends with them. I used to tell them, you know, and then you'll see. And that, and all of a sudden, that's what happened. Like the people, the kids that were like not so friendly with people, and it, you know, you take the underdog under your wing, kind of like you make them feel good, adults also,
and it brings
and then
people
they come up and then they are embarrassed, like they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing this, I'm sorry, like, because they're with someone that they feel is higher or more popular,
and it brings them up.
Exactly. So what bottom line, exactly what you're saying,
Lahavdil, the way you just said it reminded me, Alyssa, remember after the Shiva for Elisheva Kaplan, is that her last name? Allah Shalom. Someone said that when she went to the office, this is exactly an example of where you're speaking about. Her speech, this is actually very relevant to this discussion, was so refined and appropriate that the co-workers did not feel that they could speak in their crass way in front of her, the way they were used to speaking. People remember this, so I'm not making this up. Hashem should have an aliyah. And we should learn from her. That because of her refined speech, people spoke a certain way. So instead of bringing people down, it brought them up to be around a person who's a positive influence. And this is how Aaron was makarev people. Because, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Lefi Shehem Briyosov Shal Kosh Baruch, Hashem didn't only make me, That person has failings. I don't know how I would act if I was in that person's life situation. Maybe if I had his life situation, I would act the same way. Well, it gives me the right to judge, to criticize, to talk lashon hara about somebody else. But the fichach she satosos yom tov ra'ui she te'ahavim. You should love them because Hashem made them. The gam she te'ahavim mizoa panim v'lo mipanim echerim. You should not love other people, especially other Jews, for ulterior motives. Kegam mipnei hanah hamagia lechamim, because maybe they'll do something for you. You'll have benefit or pleasure. You know, you become friends with them. They do errands for you. I don't know. They'll do favors for you, not because you'll benefit from them. No, don't love them for that reason, just because Hashem made this person like he made me. Going back to the biography of Rapam, the blessing that precedes Birkas Kohanim concludes with, V'yaseh Mecha Shalom. It is a pure love of the Kohen for his people, which initiates a flow of spiritual blessing from above. So the Kohen is a conduit, but because of this midah of Ahava Shalom and Ahava Sabrios, Hashem makes him the vehicle or the vessel through which blessing of Shalom flows. Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam, this all personified the trait of Ahava Shalom, love of fellow Jew. One story. Approximately a year ago, I was dealing with a particular health concern. This is a woman who he never met, wrote the following to the family. Approximately 1 year ago, I was dealing with a particular health concern. It was important for me to receive a bracha from Rav Pam prior to my procedure. Upon a friend's encouragement, I called Rav Pam's home. I spoke to the Rebbetzin. Concisely, I described my request. The Rebbetzin said Rav Pam had been home only a short while ago. He was resting. He could not be disturbed. I said I understood, but the Rebbetzin asked me to hold. I held for 5 minutes. She had gone to check, and she returned. She said, yes, he's resting. I thanked her again. I expressed the hope that Rapam should feel better. She responded, please hold on one more time. I'll go look. I indicated it wasn't necessary. She asked me the Rebbetzin to hold. Apparently, this time she took a portable phone. She got on the line and she said, now Rabbi Pam will speak with you. I thanked her. He picked up the phone and he said, hello, how are you? His unforgettable voice was so gentle and so kind. His tone was soft and a bit weak. He asked my name and my full Hebrew name. I told him my problem. He gave me a heartfelt bracha. Hashem should grant you a few shalema. Things should go well. I thanked him. I tried to express how much I appreciated him speaking to me. I felt, as it says to him, who never met him, one encounter on the telephone, a tremendous amount of Ahavas Yisrael. I just saw last week a clip by Rav Melech Biederman. I'm signed up to WhatsApp, so Biederman Daily Inspiration, 2-3 minute videos every day. And he talks about how one Jew, one action of Ahavas Yisrael could build the Beis HaMikdash. He says one Jew could build the Beis HaMikdash. Do you think that's impossible? But he says if one Jew destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. He says if one Jew destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, then one Jew can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. I felt a tremendous amount of Ahavas Yisrael. Rav Pam did not know me personally. He spoke with utmost concern for a fellow Jew. Why? This isn't because he has any vested interest, and it's not because he's going to gain anything, and he doesn't know if this person is Shomer Torah or Mitzvos. He just loves her because she is a child of Hashem. This feeling will always remain with me. I'm extremely grateful to the Rebbetzin who persisted and went out of her way to arrange this conversation. I will never forget the kindness towards me. Make such a big impression on a person. And going back to the paragraph inside the Sefer that we are touching upon here, that's why you can't have hesech hadas from being on guard, because when you drop your guard, those partners, that's what the Chavetz Chaim calls, I'm here for you, it's a shame shamayim, I want what's in your best interest, those partners who are certainly there, we have to be like the El security guards, they are so vigilant, it was not normal. And he said to my husband, what do you do? And then he looks at me, and they look right in your eyes, they ask my daughter questions, they look right at you, and he said to me, you're a teacher. And I was totally caught off guard, it was crazy, we have to be so on guard, there should never be hesech hadas. You can't go down to the river to do laundry during the 9 days because you're going to meet your friend. They're going to start talking about this. You're going to start talking about that. It's not appropriate. You can't have hesech hadas from korban, and you can't have hesech hadas from being chovas hashmira. Let's go on. Be'esha omer, nekudahei. Be'esha omer. V'samtem esdavar eila alavavchem. So that's from Devarim Perikid Aleph. The Chavetz Chaim writes that right there. So that is what we call the second paragraph of Shema. The first paragraph of Shema is from Pasuk Vav in Devarim. The second paragraph of Shema that starts with Haya Im Shemo is from Perek Yud Aleph of Devarim. Shehu Kabbalas Ol Mitzvah. So we know when it comes to Shema Yisrael Shem HaKadosh Shem Echad, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, a person has to be cognitively aware at the moment they say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Adar Rabbi Mekaba Om Echu Shemaim. So enough to say words. Does everyone hear me? That a person has to be cognizant and aware at the time that they say, Hear, O Israel, Hashem is God, Hashem is God, you are being Mekaba Om Echu Shemaim. Going back to Israel when we were in the Shuk on Friday, and you've been to the Shuk on Friday, I'm sure, and you know what the Shuk is like on Friday, and Mika Amcha Yisrael. There's the Chabad stand in the outdoor part of the Shuk. You know, there's the inside and then the outside. And they have their stand there, and they're getting people to put on tefillah. And the image of these, they obviously not dati. If they were dati, they wouldn't be going to the Chabad stand to put on their tefillin, standing in their tefillin. And since then, when I say Shema Yisrael, I have an image of them in my head, covering their eyes. Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's just an incredible thing. What should you think when you say the Shema? Shehu kabalos ol mitzvos. You are being mekabel ol machu shemayim, and you're being mekabel the mitzvos. It's bonin. She mekabel al atzmo. You have to pay close attention. Be very, it's bonin. Ponder. So mekaba out from bina, intuition. You have to how would you say that? You have to No, that's not a word. That is a word. Shemekabal atzmo, that you're accepting the Ribbono Shel Olam and his mitzvos upon you. Shelo laver gam ala lavin vasin. So you also, when you say this, it's all the mitzvos, also balashon hara, the lo tase and the ase, shetuluim b'chelek hadibur v'machshava, that are dependent upon speech and thought. Ki kulam heim divrei Hashem yisbarach. I was thinking of something very interesting. It's very interesting that when we're mekabal ol malchu shemayim, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is God, Hashem is one. We have to be silent in order to hear. In order to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim, we have to close our mouths in order to hear the word of Hashem. Amazing. Likbo hazman b'chol yam lelimud ha-halachos. We'll finish with this before we go to the lesson of the day. Likbo hazman b'chol yam lelimud ha-halachos ha-shayachu se'el ha-sar ha-dvarim. So this is pretty major. And you have to every day make time to learn the relevant halachos to these forbidden parts of speech. So Baruch Hashem, we're zocha to learn together every other week. And I hope that people have seen a change in their speech. I certainly have seen a tremendous, Hashem Ya'azar, B'li Ayin Hara, change in the content and type and delivery of my speech, because we learned that it's not only Lashon Hara in the narrowest frame, it encompasses so many actions. But you have to learn it every day. In some way, you have to remember every day. And it reminded me of what we say, Musaf, after Musaf of Shabbos, after Shemona Esrei, Tanei Devei Eliyahu. And it remembers this. By the way, it's not just that we say the Musaf for Shabbos, and I looked it up. It's from Maseches Megillah, Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Okay, it's from Maseches Megillah 28b. Tanei Devei Aliyahu, Kol Hashona Halachas B'chol Yom, Muv Techlo Shehu. What's that? You want to say this before Aleinu? Okay. Tanei Devei Aliyahu, Kol Hashona Halachas B'chol Yom, Muv Techlo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Someone who reviews the halachos every day, it is guaranteed that he is a ben olam haba. It's not like a magic elixir. Mm-hmm. Which one? Elixir? Mm-hmm. I'm asking. We were just at the table, so someone said elixir. So I thought, I always thought it was elixir. So my kids were a little horrified. So anyone who reviews halachos every day, it's guaranteed that you're a ben olam haba. It's not an elixir. Mm-hmm. It's not a magic potion, but if you review halachos, you're going to olam haba. The point is, if you review the halachos every day, you know to behave. If you know to behave properly, then you are a ben olam haba, shendemar, as the pasuk says, halichos olam lo. That's a pasuk from Chavakuk, pasuk Paragimel, pasuk Vav. The ways of the world are his. Halichos olamo, the halech, halichos olamo, the ways of the world are his. Al tikrei halichos, don't read it, the ways of the world, ala halachos. So one who reviews every day, that's from Gemara Megillah 20b, one who reviews halachos every day is a ben olam haba. The only way to strengthen yourself is to know what to do. If you don't know what to do, you can't know the halachos. If you don't know the halachos of the 3 weeks and you don't know the halachos of the 9 days, you can't keep it properly. Why? Because you simply don't know. If you don't know the halachos of Chovas Hashmira, you don't know how to talk. Mamash don't know how to talk, as we are learning here. Ki bahen matzui ha'adam lehikashel, because it is very easy to become ensnared. It is very easy to fall. It is very easy to become trapped. V'chein b'musar ha'shayich lehem. So it's not only enough to learn the halachas, but you also have to learn musar. Why? Because the musar in the moment will help you, hopefully, keep on guard, will help you talk properly. Like Rav Steinman said, do you think there's a Musar Sefer that I know of that the Yetzer Hara does not know? But whichever Sefer you choose to learn from, make sure you learn it and learn it well and try to apply it very, very much. Let me see something. Let's do one more so we can finish the page. Inyan Hashmiruhu, afilu b'shivto b'veso, ledaber im ishto. Look at this. Even when you're sitting in your house and speaking with your wife or in a wife to her husband, odos me about someone else, imlo davar shehu mutar mitzaradin. You have to consider to yourself, if this is mutar, according to that, it's very interesting because my husband just came home yesterday, he had a conversation with certain Rav, and he started to repeat the conversation with the Rav, and right away I stopped and I said, and I really wanted to know, okay? It was hard for me to say, I wanted to know, is this Lashon Hara? And then my husband said, without going into any details, he said, it's very validating for me. So then I thought of what Rabbi Weitz told us, that if a person needs to unburden themselves, then it's not al tatzdikar be. Don't be such a tzadekes. So that's why I listened, because I'm not sure if in another situation it would not have been Lashon Hara, but when he said it was very validating for me, so it's important in that situation, like we learned from Rabbi Weitz, and then we saw it in Halacha, they, that if a person needs to unburden themselves, then I'll talk to Karl Bey, but it's relevant, even when you're talking to your spouse. You have to think to yourself, am I allowed to be saying this? Just because two people are very close does not mean right away that the words that are coming out of their mouths are mutter. It's not necessarily the case. And we have to think about that. And sometimes it's not easy. It wasn't even easy for me in the first place to say, is this Lashon Hara? Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Read the topic.
Between husband and wife.
No. It literally says between husband and wife. I opened up. No, I'm not lying. It's amazing when you see such clear hashgacha. No, it literally says on the top of this page, between husband and wife. That's crazy. There's always hashkacha. Everything is hashkacha, Hashem. He's always supervising everything. But when you sometimes see it like that, it's like Hashem saying, I'm right here. Okay. Let's see what it says about between husband and wife. I'm not making this up. We have already seen there are no grounds for sharing gossip with one's spouse. To view withholding Lashon Hara from one's spouse as a breach of harmony and trust is mistaken. Right? So you're not correct. To view withholding Lashon Hara as a breach of harmony, it's not true. You should withhold Lashon Hara. It's not a breach of harmony. A husband and wife who seek to have the divine presence dwell in their midst should build their home on the foundation of halacha. Part of halacha is avoiding conversations which promote machlokes and dissension, strife, and divide amongst Jews. Moreover, sharing negativity does not help to create a healthy, positive relationship. So that's first off. It's crazy. It's also crazy because I said, let's just finish the page. Because I never know where we're going to get up to. I always prepare extra. I always prepare ahead. So I said, no, let's finish the page. That's really amazing. Nevertheless, when a husband or wife is in need of emotional...
Is that happening all the time in my life, right? Does that happen to you all the time in your life?
All the time, I don't know. This is very cool. Nevertheless, when a husband or wife is in need of emotional support in dealing with difficulty, it is only natural that they look to one spouse for assistance. Speaking or listening under such circumstances is constructive and clearly permissible. So you have to use your seichel, chachmas nashim ban sabesa v'ivels biyadeh tarasena. It is the wisdom, the bina yisera shenasna l'isha yosem rebi ish, need a 45b. It's the bina yisera that was given to a woman, v'yivein Hashem elkim esatzela shalakach min adam l'isha. Why by isha does it says v'yivein by the first bria, 127, paragraph, pasuk of Sinai, it says v'yivra Hashem elkim esa adam. Hashem created, b'tzalam elokim bara oso zachar nekeva bara osam. The first time this human form is created, it's vayivra, God created. Perak al pasuk of Zayin. Then when you get to Perak Beis pasuk Zayin, and Adam is refashioned, it says Vayitzer Hashem Makim Lesa Adam Afar Min Adam. Hashem was a Yotzer. So first Hashem is a Bore, creating a human man woman form. Then Hashem is a Yotzer, fashioning, refashioning that one gender being into Adam. But then by the time we come to Isha, which is at the end of Perak Chav pasuk of Al for Chav Beis, it says Vayivein Hashem Makim Lesa Tzeil Hashem Lakach. New verb to denote construction. Vayivra, vayitzer, God created, God refashioned, and now Hashem vayivein, and he built. So why? So the Gemara says, because from the moment of her creation, Bina Yaseira Nasna the Isha Yosir Mibish, she has a higher degree of intuition and understanding. So if the spouse comes and says it's very validating and they clearly need to say this, so it's not time to be such a tzaddikus. In your mind, you should not accept the Lashon Hara, but you also have to show the empathy that is necessary and show that you are the Ezer Kenezu. This person needs a validation. This person needs some burden. It's not just a person. It's a spouse, whether a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband. It's not the time to say, please don't tell me this. Nevertheless, when a husband or wife is in need of emotional support in dealing with difficulty, it's only natural to look for a spouse for assistance. Speaking or listening under such circumstances is constructive, is clearly permissible. When possible, one should attempt to help one's spouse understand the situation in a certain way that will relieve his or her anger or frustration. So you have to, again, be wise and understand the situation, but if you can, try to alleviate the symptoms, but not to say, I don't want to hear. You're not in the right situation, then you're wrong. If one finds that his or her spouse is forever in need of letting off steam, it's important to try to bring about a general change of attitude through discussion, reading, or audio material, or suggesting a meeting with a rather qualified individual. So that's an extreme case where a person might have some sort of emotional challenges. Well, they always feel very negative. They always feel attacked. So that might be a different matzah. But in general, a normal, healthy person who feels the need to unburden, you have an obligation to listen. A word of caution. While one must be prepared to hear out a spouse and offer emotional support when necessary, one must be ever vigilant not to be drawn into conversation of Lashon Hara for no constructive purpose. So stam, a spouse saw something in shul in the street or overheard saying, it has no bearing. It doesn't emotionally impact me. I don't need validation. I don't need to hear it out. Nobody is going to benefit here. We're totally not no gay badavar. So then you can't come home and relate what you saw in the shuk, in the marketplace. And you can't relate what you saw in the Beis Knesset because it has no bearing on your home, on your marriage, on your personality. Pure Lashon Hara. It is often the case that couples fail to draw this distinction. That's something we have to ask ourselves. The Lashon and tone in our home, is it constructive? Is it because it's impacting me, I need to unburden? Or am I stopped talking about people in the community for no reason? That's something we have to be intellectually honest with. We have to ask ourselves. That's not always a simple answer. It is often the case that couples fail to draw this distinction and consequently totally ignore the laws of Shmiras HaLashon when conversing. So it's not a blanket, like Rabbi White said. It's not a blanket heter. And don't misunderstand it to be. It doesn't mean that a husband and wife can talk about anything under the sun when it comes to other people. That's not correct. But if one is no gay bedaver and needs to, so then they have an obligation. Okay. Any questions or comments? The next one is on children. It is a parent's responsibility to sensitize his or her child to the evils of lashon hara, help the child develop self-control in the area. At the same time, it's a parent's responsibility to provide the child with emotional support and assistance. The overzealous parent can cause the child irreplaceable harm by forever scolding when reassurance is in order. So I think it's easier for us to understand with children. If a child will display emotion and complains about being insulted or complains about her, and it's not the parent's job to say it's lashon hara. Failure to discipline one's child is no less harmful. You have to discern between situations where a child is relating an incident because he needs to and he needs the parent's help, and when he's speaking lashon hara about a kid in the class for no good reason. A child should be taught that if interesting events of the day include negative facts about others, names should be omitted. Again, not that the child was harmed in any chas v'shalom. This is not no gay bedavar. To relate how a child misbehaved in class, stam is lashon hara. Even if the child was clever and amusing, the child gets sent out, the kid thinks it's a funny story, he wants to tell you, interesting. You can't listen to that. Conversely, it is perfectly correct for a child to reveal the identity who interferes with his own activity or disrupts him personally during class. And so we see that even with our own families, there are boundaries. There are times when you have to talk, times to speak, and times for silence. We have to be very discerning and use the bina that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us with to know when to